Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Welcome back, Packers fans, to the Pack-A-Day Podcast. It is another weekend. We are inching closer to training camp. It is your Saturday crew on the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I am Jason Perrone of Game On Wisconsin and the Pack-A-Day Podcast, the Quick Slants Podcast, along with Mark Eckel of Packer Report and Paul Brettel of Dairyland Express, Cheesehead TV, and the Packers Unrestricted Podcast. Mark, the East Coast, the beach, it's summer. What's going on?
It's beautiful, sunny. They're calling for a possible thunder shower today, but if it does, it happens, and if it goes away, you don't even know it ever happened. So beautiful weather here.
All right. Very nice. Very, very nice. Dairyland State of Wisconsin. Paul Brettel, what's happening over by Lambeau Field?
I mean, it's summer here. Some days are in the 90s. Some days like today are mid-70s. But I will say we desperately need some rain up here. It's pretty dry. My lawn could use some watering.
Oof. Well, if the lawn doesn't get the water, then you kind of don't have to cut it for a while, right?
That's true. But I don't mind cutting it, and I'd prefer that over some brown.
That's true. Well, we're still at 115.
You got to get a sprinkler system, Paul.
I know. I'm holding out on that. That costs a lot of money, Mark.
I understand. Water usage. So if Paul's going to have an astronomical water bill, and I'm going to have a huge AC bill because it's still 115 over here in the Phoenix area. And I just want you to know when we record this, just so there's no background noise, and I try to keep it as quiet as possible, I actually have to turn the AC off in the house. So I just want you to know that. These are the sacrifices I make for our team.
Wow.
Absolutely.
Appreciated.
You know, we do this every week. I'm sorry. We do this every week, and apparently it's like now it's become a thing because people are everywhere now talking about the weather here, and sending me direct notes and stuff saying like, oh yeah, Myrtle Beach is wet. Like I'm like, it's only to they really look forward to this, which is kind of scary almost. But
we're trendsetters.
Yeah,
yeah. To the point where Dan Kotnick had to shape up when he stepped in during draft season.
Yeah, show everyone the ropes.
Yeah, absolutely, no doubt. So now that we know what's happening in everybody's neck of the woods, as Al Roker would say, we're going to have a kind of a fun discussion today, and Paul's going to kind of lead us through the majority of that conversation as we talk through his recent. I think you wrote a recent piece with a 53-man roster update, Paul, and we're going to kind of talk through the offensive side of some of those selections. So I will turn the mic over to you. Take it away.
Yes. Yeah, so last Saturday at Dairyland Express, I came out with my post mini camp 53-man roster prediction. I mean, it's the offseason, but I feel there's been a few things we can glean, and there's a lot of educated guessing involved as well. But with most every NFL roster, a majority of the spots are counted for, so it's trying to figure out those fringe roster spots. And I think that rings especially true for the Green Bay Packers, considering they were 13-3, went to the NFC Championship game, and they're bringing back a large portion of the roster. So I'm going to go through the offensive side. We'll go position by position. I'll explain my reasoning behind each selection. And then, of course, I want to hear Jason and Mark's thoughts. See if they change anything. They agree, disagree. I thought it'd be a fun conversation to have. And as Jason said, we will only be doing the offensive side of the ball this week. Next week will be defense. Otherwise, chances are, knowing us, this would end up as a 2-hour conversation, and we won't do that to you guys. So let's start with the most important position, quarterback. So I rostered 2 quarterbacks. I'm going to contradict myself right away, because last year the Green Bay Packers kept 3, and obviously having Jordan Love, Tim Boyle, in addition to Aaron Rodgers, that made complete sense. But in most situations, I think that that third quarterback spot is honestly just a wasted roster spot. I think that that can be better used at a different position. So my quarterbacks are Aaron Rodgers and Jordan Love. Shouldn't come as a shock until there's some sort of, you know, real news or evidence that Aaron Rodgers isn't going to be here. I am operating under the assumption that he is going to be. He will be the starter. Jordan Love will be the backup. I think that's a given. I guess the conversation, or where you guys may disagree, if you think it's worth rostering a third quarterback.
I think, and I'm with you 90% of the time, that I would only keep 2 quarterbacks, because I think you can get more value to your roster by keeping an extra, whatever you want to keep, extra lineman, an extra receiver, an extra defensive back than a third quarterback. But with what's happened with Aaron Rodgers and the unknown, not just for this year, but to use the beyond 2021 quote that gets passed around a lot, it might behoove the Packers to have a third quarterback just in case. You know what I'm saying? Who knows? I mean, it's so unknown. We don't know what Rodgers is going. We don't know what he might come and leave. Who knows? I mean, he might. He's probably not going to be here in 2022. So that's why I'd be with you. Yeah, 100%. Keep Rodgers, Love, and move on. But I'm just, because of the unknown circumstances surrounding. I'll call it the complicated circumstances surrounding Aaron Rodgers. I would keep a third one, whether it's one of these. I mean, they have 5. So if one of the young guys impresses in camp and preseason, maybe you keep him. He'll be in active every week anyway, hopefully, if Rodgers is there. So, I tend to disagree just slightly with you there.
So you would keep a third, let's say Kurt Benkert, for example, to kind of be the Jordan Love of 2020, to learn the offense, be a part of the practices in that regard for next season, to potentially be the backup? Well, is that your thinking?
Yes. Or also as insurance that Rodgers, I mean, like if you're right, if they just keep Rodgers and Love, and then Rodgers bolts, you know, after game 3, now you got Love and maybe somebody picked up that other guy and he's on somebody else's practice squad or something. And now you're stuck with 1 quarterback. At worst, I'd keep a guy on the practice squad, but you didn't do practice squad. So I'm assuming if you only keep 2, you'll put.
Yeah, there'll absolutely be someone on the practice squad. Yeah. Yep.
So
Jason,
that could elude my problem a little bit.
So I don't disagree with Mark's idea about prepping for the future, but I think the Packers, being as close as they were to a championship, they realized that some of those roster spots, like you said, Paul, are valuable and maybe better spent on game day at another position. And let's be honest, if the Packers are dipping into their third quarterback, or they're putting a third quarterback active on game day, it's someone else that could impact the game on special teams or on offense or defense just isn't getting that spot. So I think because that position is not as critical, it's one of those things where you put the player on the practice squad, you know they could get plucked, like Mark said, they could get plucked away and taken away. But once you get to that point, the Packers, you know, it becomes such a different team, and they're so much less competitive anyway, that you might as well just elevate that person if you need to each and every week, and then just stick them back on the practice squad and let them, you know, let them be throughout. I mean, quarterbacks, it's interesting if there's a team that really likes them. I mean, we saw what happened when the Packers let go of Taysom Hill a couple of years ago, and other teams have their eyes on guys. Teams get quarterback hungry. I mean, look at the Packers right now. The Packers are signing quarterbacks like the Bears had tight ends. So, I think once you get to that point, and because of who the quarterbacks are, because it's a first round draft pick from last season, and it's the future Hall of Famer in Aaron Rodgers, assuming that he's back and he's going to play, the drop-off is so big after that, once you get to the third spot, that I think the Packers could just go with a practice squad body and then just elevate that person. So I'm more with you than not, Paul.
Absolutely. And I will say one name to watch as training camp and preseason takes off is Kurt Benkert. Again, it was mini camp, it was OTAs, but there are a lot of the man can sling the ball. So regardless, it sounds like he'll be fun to watch. But I mean, we don't know. Maybe the Packers do want to holster three quarterbacks again. It's something they've not done every year, but they have done, you know, recently in the past as well. So someone to watch. Next, we'll move on to the running back position. So I will say that initially I was going to hold or keep three running backs on the roster, but I did a little digging. I went back to last year's initial 53-man roster, and they kept four. So in this situation, I only had two quarterbacks, so that inspired me to keep a fourth, in part because I am a big Patrick Taylor fan. So we know A.J. Dillon, we know Aaron Jones are going to be on the roster. And the last three running back options are Kylan Hill, Patrick Taylor, and Dexter Williams. So I kept everyone except Dexter Williams. Since he joined the Packers, the coaching staff has just had trust issues with him. Pass blocking, he's had drops in the passing game, and even in minicamp last week, he had a fumble. Whereas Kylan Hill and Patrick Taylor, I think that these two are really just tailor-made for this Packers offense. There's the obvious component of being ball carriers, but both were effective in college in the passing game. They're both very willing in the pass blocking game as well. Both have some, not a lot, but some experience in the slot. So I really like Patrick Taylor. I think everyone is under the assumption that Kylan Hill is going to be running back three. I still think that's up for grabs, but I like Patrick Taylor a lot. So I had four running backs on the roster at this point: Aaron Jones, A.J. Dillon, Kylan Hill, and Patrick Taylor. Jason, we'll start with you. What are your thoughts?
Well, so this is the one area where I think you see a big drop off, because Jamal Williams wasn't going to mistake anybody for LaTanian Tomlinson or Marshall Faulk or anything like that. But he was really good and a very steady number two running back. A.J. Dillon, I don't have any qualms about giving him more carries and opportunity to be that guy. I think he's just more of a little bit of an unknown. He didn't get that many snaps last year, flashed when he did. But the two guys at the bottom of the roster, a lot to prove. I'm going to trust the Packers on this one. It's one of those situations where they've shown that they've scouted well in the past. And even though you're talking about a seventh rounder, you could potentially be talking about two undrafted free agents, essentially. But Hill's got that speed, and Patrick Taylor's been with the team for a while. He knows the offense. Goody has that specific body type that he really likes when it comes to running back. So I honestly, it's Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon anyway, and I think the other two guys, we're not going to... If anybody's going to play that Tyler Irvin role, it's going to be Amari Rodgers, and he may line up in the backfield at receiver. It's not going to be either of those other two guys as far as I know. I do have to say, though, Paul and Mark, it's funny. Every time I see a picture of the running back group or look at the roster and I see Dexter Williams' name on it, I absolutely and positively forget that he's still on it. I thought the Packers moved on from him a couple of years ago. And all I think of when Dexter Williams gets the ball is please hang on to the ball, because he had a lot of fumble issues. And so I think it's time. I mean, there's obviously a reason why the Packers added a running back in the draft and did what they did to bring back Aaron Jones. You know, Dexter Williams, again, he's not going to mistake anybody for a big burner. So the position, if they stay healthy, is pretty stocked and loaded. We'll miss Jamal Williams, but I think they're going to be fine.
I'll ask you this, Jason, before I kick it to Mark. As far as three running backs versus four, do you feel one way or the other at this point?
So three gets – now we get into the quarterback situation discussion again about do you try to put someone on the practice squad, but you get really thin if Jones or Dillon gets hurt. And then what do you do if you only have three on game day, and then you're going with a lot of inexperience there? So I think if they can afford it, if they don't want to go with another linebacker or corner – or maybe even a safety, I would say you go with four, because you need it. But the versatility factor is important there too. So if they can, you know, if they pass block well and they're in the passing game plan, then it's a lot easier decision to keep four. If they're more pure running backs and it's just backs in the backfield, could be one of those situations where the Packers surprise us and just go with three and just cross their fingers.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Yeah, they went with three most of last year, if I'm not mistaken. It was Jones, Williams, and Dillon. And then they would bring – they brought somebody off the practice squad a couple of times when a guy was nicked up. If you're only keeping two quarterbacks, you might be able – you could probably get away with four running backs, especially – and we'll probably get to this later. But the first 2 weeks – and they may, yeah. I don't know what the future holds, but Jay Sternberger is not going to be on the 53 the first 2 weeks.
Right.
So you might keep a Patrick Taylor on the 53, at least for those 2 weeks. And then if you are going to bring him back, maybe you can sneak Taylor on the practice squad. It's easier to get out of practice squad 2 weeks into the season than it is prior to the start of the season. Because that's when all the cuts are made and teams are scouring and looking and bang, guys get picked up here and there. 2 weeks into it, you usually like what you have unless you have an injury or something. So, yeah, I could see keep. I like all four of those guys. Like I said, I was a Patrick Taylor fan, too. I thought, you know, I liked him when they signed him as an undrafted free agent. I thought that was a good move keeping him on the practice squad last year. Well, he was hurt, so they kind of knew that he wouldn't play. He's their kind of guy. I mean, you know, he can run, you know, and so is the guy that they drafted. So, if they're only keeping three, that's going to be a good. That's going to be one of those training camp battles to watch, as people like to call it, for that third spot. And you cut Dexter Williams. I'm all for that.
He's from Notre Dame, of course.
Oh, I didn't even realize that.
Yeah, and like I said, my initial thought was keeping three, but Mark, you already brought up Jay Sternberger, who we'll get to here shortly. He doesn't have to be on the roster. I only have two quarterbacks, so essentially, I guess depending how many tight ends I was planning to keep, and I'm not sure, I technically had two roster spots available. And like I said, I'm really high on Patrick Taylor, but for a lot of these fringe guys or all of these fringe guys, it's going to come down to training camp and the preseason.
Well, let me add this too. A lot of it will depend on special teams. If Taylor and or Hill can contribute on special teams, and I don't mean as a kick returner or punt returner, but I'm talking like, you know, as a gunner or just a cover guy or whatever the case might be, that goes a long way. I know from experience, you know, all my years covering, that, you know, those 50, 51, 52, 53 guys on the roster, those last three, four guys, they better help you on special teams, or that's how special teams aren't good. If you're not keeping those backups to play special teams, you wind up with the kind of special teams the Packers have had the last couple of years.
Mm-hmm. And special teams is a good segue into our next position group, wide receiver. So I think, and you guys could obviously correct me if you feel differently, but I think we can all agree the first four spots are safe. Devontae Adams, MVS, Al Mazzard, and Amari Rodgers. So then the question, there's two questions. How many receivers are the Green Bay Packers going to keep? For reference, last year they rostered five on the initial 53-man roster. However, as we've already discussed, I have a couple of openings because of how I constructed the roster so far. So I ended up keeping six. The two additional guys that I kept were one, Malik Taylor, because of special teams experience. I know he had his issues as a return man, but he was on 210 special team snaps in his career, way more than what Equanimeous St. Brown has been a part of. So for me, in deciding between those two, that was the difference maker. I'm not expecting Malik Taylor to be a big part of the offense, but what he can contribute on special teams. And then I decided to keep Devin Funchess. I've written about it. I know I've talked about it on here, how he is just an absolute wild card this year. I could see him contributing, making an impact. I could see him being cut as well. But for this purpose, where we stand right now, if we look at his talent in a vacuum compared to the other guys that he's competing with, EQ, Malik Taylor, Reggie Begelton, all the other guys outside of that big four, he's clearly the more talented option than all those guys. But can he shake the rust off? How will he adjust to the offense are the two big questions. So, and we don't know that. So at this point in time, before training camp, before preseason, I gave him the benefit of the doubt since I was keeping six receivers. So Devontae Adams, MVS, Al Mazzard, Amari Rodgers, Malik Taylor, and Devin Funchess are my receivers. So Mark, how many receivers do you think at this point they'll keep, and who are your guys outside of that big four?
Well, I'm with you. And one thing I'm noticing with this is that you like guys named Taylor.
I do.
You probably wish they brought Lane Taylor back.
Yeah, I absolutely do. I do.
your last couple of guys are all named Taylor. But yeah, I think, and again, I'm anxious to see how this goes on with you, especially maybe next week. But I don't know if you can keep four running backs and six. Again, you probably can without Sternberger.
But that's a big key in all of this.
It's going to get little. It's going to get a little. Tough when if and when he's ready to come back, because if you want to keep him now, there you could make the argument that you just let him go, but I don't think they'll do that. The top four are obvious. I would keep Funchess. I'm with Funchess that he's a proven. I know he's a wild card, as you said, but he's also a proven commodity. At his best, he's better than Lazard. I like Lazard a lot, but at his best, look, Lazard's best has never been as good as Funchess's best. Funchess has the pedigree. He was a high draft pick. There's a lot of pluses in keeping Funchess. Now, will they? I think they will. We've talked about him. He gives you what some other, he's that big red zone target. He's a pretty good blocker. They went out and got him last year for a reason. Now, obviously, the pandemic and him opting out was all, and I'm not going to hold that against him. That's his personal business. So I think he makes it. And then again, Malik Taylor, he seemed to do everything that they wanted him to do. If he gets cut, it's not because he did something wrong. It's just because they decided they only need five receivers. Because he's, like you said, he played over 200 special team snaps. He actually, when he was in the offense, he did some things. I mean, his numbers aren't going to jump off the page at you, obviously. But like I would read stuff after the game. But he was always in the right spot. He ran, good routes. He blocks well. He does all the little. He does a lot of good things. So I think you want a guy like that on your roster. And again, like you said, special teams is big. And like I said earlier, listen, we did this show a couple weeks ago, and you asked me what was my biggest concern, and it was special teams. So anything that can help the special teams, I'm all for. And if that means keeping six receivers and one of them is Taylor simply because he's a good special teamer, put me down for it.
How about you, Jason?
Yeah, this is a kind of a tough position to group because of all the different options. And I thought about the whole Funchess thing, but the more that the point that you make about him having not played for a couple of years and the fact that at least for a time, I know Aaron Rodgers really liked Equanimeous St. Brown. I know he dropped some balls and maybe that's changed now after the NFC Championship game. And he had a couple of horrific drops and bad moments there. I mean, he really struggled in 2020. And I thought EQ was going to bounce back and be really good, be a bigger part of the offense, and maybe it was going to be kind of a, I wouldn't call it a breakout year, but a turn the corner kind of a year. I mean, I agree he's got that upside, but how long do you wait for it? And you think about what the Packers didn't have, and you think about those drop passes, and I just think, kind of to Mark's point, without him having said it specifically, is maybe you trust Funchess a little bit more because he's more polished and he's got this, he's already got the pedigree and the skills. And having played in the NFL, and that the moment might not be too big for him, and maybe he makes that one critical catch in the postseason or in a key game late in the season. So I could see the Packers maybe stacking this position a little bit more because there's all that talk about weapons, and you had the number one offense in the NFL last year. The reality is that if he's healthy, Devontae Adams is going to catch a trillion balls because that's just who he is. So there's only one football to go around. But Alan Lazard, even though his skill set doesn't jump off the page at all, there's just something about him that just makes him so much more valuable. And maybe he's only as valuable as he is in Green Bay's offense. If he went somewhere else, he wouldn't be as good. But he is really a true three. I mean, sometimes even a two, I guess you could say, from the standpoint of how much the quarterback looks for him and trusts him and throws to him in big moments. And he just finds ways to get open, and he's got that moxie to him too, which is an intangible that I like to talk about. So I could see the Packers keeping, I could see them keeping six. I think five is too few based on the talent that they have and the fact that they just drafted Amari Rodgers as well. So I'm good with your group, Paul. Malik Taylor, for as undynamic as he was as a kick returner, for the Packers to put him out there week after week for the time that they did last year, they really like the guy. So there's something about Malik Taylor that they really like. And so I think you're onto something there, that he's a guy that they really do want to keep around. You mentioned Reggie Bagleton, some of those other guys. I always like the receiver battles in camp because that's one of those positions that's always really heated. And you got a bunch of guys that are battling for it and diving and making the training camp crowds go crazy. So I'm more looking forward to that. That's one of those Twitter refresh buzz type of things that we always talk about when it comes to training camp.
There's another name. There's another name. I don't know if you mentioned him, Paul, but apparently he really looked good in mini camp and the OTAs. That's Kid Winfrey from Colorado, who's also a good special teams guy. So I wouldn't have put him on my 53 on June 18th or June 19th, whatever, you know, right now. But he's a guy that, as camp progresses and a couple preseason games are played, he might steal a spot. You know, especially if Funch, like you said, if Funch is rusty, or if Taylor, if this guy's just better than Taylor, maybe, I don't know. But I've heard a lot of good things about Winfrey. I really have.
And the last sentence that I wrote in the receiver section was, however, one name to watch moving forward is Juwan Winfrey, who had an impressive showing at minicamp. Yeah. And I already know that Mark is just thrilled with my roster prediction so far, because at this stage of the game, we have two Notre Dame guys off the roster in EQ and Dexter.
Wow, I didn't even realize. Wow,
and if you're a Notre Dame fan out there, I apologize. It wasn't intentional. And forward all your... any problems that you have to Mark Echol?
Yeah, listen, I'll keep all the offensive. If you want to give me a Notre Dame offensive lineman, send them over. You can keep all your running backs, quarterbacks. Yeah. And, I mean, they haven't had a quarterback since Joe Montana. That was 100 years ago.
All right.
Anyway, let's go.
On to the offensive line. So I kept 9 offensive linemen. That is the amount that the Green Bay Packers kept a year ago. So our likely starters, at some point, David Bakhtiari, Elgton Jenkins. And by having Bakhtiari on here, that also means I think he is going to be healthy enough, maybe not to start right away, but at least be on the 53-man roster. David Bakhtiari, Elgton Jenkins, Billy Turner, Josh Myers. And then after that, Royce Newman, fourth-round rookie. He's gotten a lot of reps with the starters throughout minicamp. Ben Braden, there's a name I absolutely would not have had on the 53-man roster if it wasn't for Adam Stenovich's comments, saying that he believes he will be competing for playing time, starting time at guard and tackle. Whether that's true or not, we will see. But the fact that he thinks he has potential to start, that's certainly enough for me at this stage of the game to put him on the roster. John Runyon Jr., Lucas Patrick as well. And I know Lucas Patrick is a name that's come up as a possible cut candidate. And I'm not going to rule that out. There are some cap savings for the Packers. Not a ton. It's a little bit under $2 million, but they've just been nickel and diming their way. And again, this is one of those things that's going to come down to training camp, because obviously they have a lot of young, which is important to note. They are young players, but they have several interior offensive linemen on this roster who could potentially, you know, take a roster spot from Patrick if the Packers feel that that's the move to make. But similar to Funchess at this stage of the game, I'm just going to give him the benefit of the doubt and keep him on the roster. And as Mark's talked about, having that extra competition, but also depth at center for rookie Josh Myers. The last spot, this was a tough one. So I have rookie Cole Van Lannen. I have him on the practice squad. And I gave this to Yosh Nijman, which I guess that was just a blind faith guess at this point. I kept him because we know he has the size, the athleticism, where he's at in his development. I have absolutely no clue whatsoever. He was on the 53-man roster last year, but even with all the injuries, he barely saw any playing time. I often wonder if they just did that because they thought he might get poached by another team if he was on the practice squad, because I really don't think that they had any sort of intention in playing him, because he just isn't ready. So this is a huge summer for him. I kept him because of that upside and just hoping that he's put it together enough to at least garner a backup role. And also, he's a true tackle, which is something that this roster, as versatile as it is, doesn't really have outside of David Bakhtiari. So that's why I decided to keep Nijman on the roster. Those are my main reasons. But like I said, it's a lot of just, you know, blind faith and hoping at this point. So, Jason, what are your thoughts on the offensive line?
I think you nailed it. I would have done the same thing. I mean, Van Lannen, it's exciting. You want to give him the nod because he's younger and athletic, and Yosh is a UDFA, but he's been around for a couple of years, and he is, like you said, a pure tackle. So this is a really sneaky thing that I'm really, really pleased with the Packers about, and how they've gone about constructing their offensive line. They've got themselves protected for the future. I mean, the one thing they obviously don't have is a left tackle who's ready to step in and be anything remotely close to what David Bakhtiari is. But show me any other team in the NFL that's got two starting caliber left tackles. So I'm not going to fault the Packers for that. I just think they've done such a great job, and they've caught some flack for it because they didn't draft as many skill players at some positions, or, you know, that big playmaking linebacker when you look at the second round. But after Elgton Jenkins, to see the Packers go second round, offensive lineman, get Josh Myers, find their center, it's hard to think that they might not hit again on another gem. You know, John Runyon Jr. is coming up and ready to step in. I mean, this is the draft and develop process. The offensive line is one of those position groups that can sometimes take time to develop. The Packers have, they've got the guys. They've got the guys in the position that are primed to be what they need to be in years two, three. And then you've got some rookies that could potentially surprise us. I'm looking forward to see what Newman looks like out there. Lucas Patrick's a great security blanket. I mean, they've just got themselves covered. It's just such an important position, and there's a lot to be said about all that. You know, they didn't give Aaron Rodgers many more weapons to throw to. It was just one third round wide receiver. But again, like I said in the last show, if he can't see the receiver because he's got defensive linemen breathing down his neck, or if he's on his back, then it doesn't matter how many great receivers or running backs there are. So I'm excited about the offensive line position, and I'm intrigued to see how many they keep and who ends up kind of rounding out that bottom of the group, kind of like you said, Paul.
Yeah, it's not a position that ever gets talked about, but this Packers team isn't as nearly as good as they were last year without this group. And even more impressive was all the injuries that happened and how they were just able to move guys around, take guys off the bench, and they still competed at a super high level. That's not something that happens around the NFL. Typically, play as a unit is going to decline. And before I pass it to Mark, I'm going to say a Packer report this week. Mark had an article where he went through some offensive line combinations, both now and looking ahead to the future a little bit. It was really, really well done, so check that out. So, Mark, how do you feel about the offensive line group that I put together?
I'm with you for the most part. I like you keeping Lucas Patrick because, as I pointed out in my story, and thank you for the compliment, you have to – I mean, it's a couple million dollars. I mean, if he was making $8 million, I'd say, yeah, I'm not keeping him for $8 million. I have other guys. It's only a couple million. He's so first of all, he's pretty good. Let's start with that. He's not great, but he's pretty good. I'm not ready to start two rookies on the offensive line for a team that I think can get back to at least an NFC Championship game and maybe go to a Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. I'm not ready to start Newman or Runyon for that matter. I mean, Runyon maybe. At least he was in for a little bit of time. I think Newman might turn out to be a good player, and even by 2022, maybe I'm starting him. But for this year, I want Patrick. And again, we all think, and I agree with Jason's, you know, assessment that, you know, Myers as a number two round pick could come in and be a good, you know, good player, but he might not be. You know, he might need a little time. Well, then you have Patrick at center. So yeah, I'm glad you kept Lucas Patrick. I was worried that you might not. I'm not worried, but I was not going to fault you on that one. A lot of people are saying, oh, yeah, you cut Patrick, we got all those other guys. I'm not. I don't think I'm keeping Yash. I mean, he could, as of today. Again, it's June. He can go out and light it up in preseason, have a great camp, and look good in the preseason games. If that's the case, by all means, keep him. But today, I think I'm keeping Stepaniak over him. They thought enough of him last. They knew he wasn't going to play last year. They knew he had the knee injury, and he was going to be a redshirt rookie year for him. Yet they still, A, took him, B, kept him, and even he didn't dress, but they activated him the last couple of weeks just to get him on the field and practice and stuff. So I think, I mean, Neiman's had his chances. He's been here a couple of years now. As of today, I'm getting rid of Neiman and I'm keeping Stepaniak just because I think they like him. I think he, you know, Yash kind of, he reminds me a little bit of the guy they had a couple of years ago, Light.
I
forget his first name now, but they kept him for a couple of years. Mm-hmm. He actually had to play sometimes, and that was bad because
in San Francisco in the regular season, that was bad.
that wasn't good. He actually proved he couldn't play. but they did keep him coming in. All of a sudden, they got better guys, and he won. Mm-hmm. So I kind of think that could be the case there too. I think his ups. I mean, he's a monster of a man. I mean, he's a huge body. Looks the part, but. The fact that he really, like you said, you know, they had injuries. He was an afterthought the entire season. So I think, and the fact that they drafted a couple guys, even I'm surprised you didn't keep the Badger.
I know.
and they may keep again today as we're speaking. I don't think he makes it either. I think he's, matter of fact, when the day after the draft, I talked to a personnel guy who kind of broke the Packers picks down for me, and his comment on Van Lannen, is that how you say?
Yeah.
His comment was, you know, not a bad pick for him there. They'll probably stash him on the practice squad for a year. He's not quite ready. He needs to develop, but he might turn into something. So I think that's probably the Packers thinking on him too, is we can probably stash him on the practice squad for a year, let him learn, let him get a little stronger. And then again, in 2022, he could be a backup for him.
Yeah, I agree with everything you said on Yosh. It's for me, like I said, it was just a blind guess and hope at this point that he had figured out. But if he's not on the roster, I won't be surprised.
And they could keep eight. They could go, especially if they go heavy at receiver and running back.
If I wasn't going to keep Yosh, I'd probably go with Van Lannen over Stepaniak, like, because no, it's not like that. It's just the option to put him at tackle. I think I just like having that, I guess, additional security there.
Well, I think they're okay. So you don't count Jenkins as a tackle, do you? I think if somebody got hurt at tackle, Jenkins would, he'd be your tackle.
I agree. No, you're right. Yeah.
And Newman, and apparently they gave Newman a lot of reps at right tackle too. So I think they're a better shape at tackle than you think.
Yeah, I mean, they have been the last 2 years, because I've been very concerned about the tackle position.
Oh, I would say.
Happily proven wrong.
Yeah, well, we come to find out that Billy Turner is a better tackle than he is a guard.
Yeah, who would have guessed that?
Nobody. Usually guys are better, if they play them both, they're better at guard.
Mm-hmm.
Not Billy Turner. So.
All right, so that's our offensive line group. Last one for today, the tight ends. As Mark had already mentioned, Jay Sternberger is serving a 2-game suspension. So the Green Bay Packers don't have to have him on the 53-man roster. If he is still on the team come week 3 and they decide to put him on, they'll have to make a cut from somewhere else. If he was going to be on, if he wasn't suspended and he was a candidate to be on the initial 53-man roster, I will say that I would have kept all 5 tight ends, and I probably would have, you know, taken Patrick Taylor off to create that additional spot initially, because on the defensive side of the ball, I don't really have any positions that I can cut from. So it's either going to be a receiver or a running back. So I will just say that if he was available, I would have kept all 5 tight ends. But since he's not available for the initial 53-man roster, and that's what this prediction is, I thought putting this group together was pretty easy. Robert Tonyan, Josiah DeGuara, Mercedes Lewis, and Dominique Daphne. So I'm going to make the assumption that you guys feel similarly. So I guess I'll ask you, if Sternberger was available, would you keep 5? Would you keep 4? Do you think he's going to be on the roster when he's able to return? What are your thoughts, Jason?
Yeah, I think Sternberger stays. I don't, unless something goes south with this off-field situation that we don't know about, he's going to stay on the roster. They made a high investment pick with him, and they're going to at least see his contract through. So he's in. He'll be back. He'll be part of the team, and unless there's some unforeseen issue there. DeGuara, I'm really excited about seeing. He, in very limited action, looked like he could carve himself out a nice role in the offense. I have to wonder what it would have looked like if he had his whole rookie season to be out there. And the others, you know, Daphne is don't forget about the special teams contributions there. I mean, he played really well, made some really good plays on special teams. Got in on the offense a little bit there too. Mercedes Lewis, you can never have, well, I guess you could have too many guys like that are not super fast and dynamic, but for the leadership role and the dirty work that he's asked to do, and for his ability to stand up guys like Khalil Mack one-on-one if he absolutely has to. I mean, until he can't do it anymore, he's not going to play, but he knows he still can. And so he's one of those guys where it's like, it's almost kind of like Brett Goode all those years where it's like, oh, they're bringing Goode back. Nice. I'm glad. That's a security blanket. You just feel better when they're on the team versus when they're not. So it's, and you know, Tonyan is a given. I don't think he's going to come out and light it up as much as he did this last season. He's going to have more focus on him. And for whatever reason, I think he might come back down to earth, regression to the mean, if you want to call it that. But the Packers tight end group is still pretty good. They look pretty good. They're a dynamic group, dynamic enough to where I think if it's Rodgers throwing the ball, he can make more out of what they are just because of his skills and ability to throw the football. So it's a good group. It's a stable group. And again, if they're returning the entire unit from last year and they had a good offensive output, then you would expect a lot of the same from that group this year, maybe a little bit of progression, but I'm good with it. And yeah, I think Sternberger's back when he comes back.
Think of all those years since between basically JerMichael Finley and last year where the tight end group on this team was just a giant question mark year after year, but that is not the case in 2021. Mark, what are your thoughts on the tight ends?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to imagine. And I actually wrote this, I don't know, a week or 2 weeks, whatever it was, sorting out the tight end room. It's hard to imagine that a team would keep five tight ends.
It really is.
I mean, that's a lot of tight ends. You think, that's almost 10% of your roster is tight ends. But with that said, DeGuara and Daphne both are kind of like they're not your pure Mercedes Lewis type tight end.
You know? Right.
Like Mercedes Lewis is a tight end. That's what he is. He's actually a glory. You know, he's part tackle. I mean, you know what I'm saying? But DeGuara and Daphne could both line up in the backfield. They both have lined up in the backfield as a fullback, H-back. So those two guys, you can do a lot of different. They're not just pure tight ends. Tanyan is Tanyan. I'm not so sure I agree with Jason that he comes back. I think he might just get better and better and become one of the best tight ends in the game. Sternberger, I guess they bring him back. Now, it depends on how they feel about his indiscretion. That cost him two games. That's going to cost him two games as a suspension. He's been a disappointment, mainly because he can't stay on the field. You know, I wonder this. I wonder if they knew that Tanyan was going to be as good as he was last year, if they even ever take Sternberger, you know? And I like Sternberger when they took him. I thought it was good. I was excited about that pick. I thought he was, a pretty good player in college. If they keep him, I think it's because as good as this group is, Mercedes Lewis is what? He's 37. He's not going to, he very easily could retire after this year, especially if the Packers fingers crossed, get to a Super Bowl and maybe win it. Why not go out on top, right? I mean, he's going to retire soon. So he and if you're looking past 2021, which the Packers normally do, they do have an eye on the years ahead. Lewis very well could not be on the team in 2022. If Tanyan has a big year, he's going to be a free agent. He might, the Packers are going to have some cap issues again next year. Maybe. Mm-hmm. You don't know what his status is going to be in 2022. So you could lose if you get rid of Sternberger this year, he's going to get picked up. You're not getting him onto the press. He was a third round pick. Some team's going to say, hey, we were going to take him. They took him a little ahead of us. Let's give him a shot. So he's not going to make it. He's not going to make it back to your practice squad or anything like that. So, if you let Sternberger go and then you lose Tanyan and Lewis in the offseason between 21 and 22, now you're coming back in 22 with just DeGuara and Daphne. And Daphne, like he did, he opened a lot of eyes at the end of last season and actually dressed for the playoff games and stuff. But we don't know. I mean, I've seen a lot of guys look good at the end of a year and then you never hear from them again. So they need to keep Sternberger just because, I think. And like I said, unless there's Jason, you might put it out, unless there's more to this, him getting, falling asleep at the wheel and whatever happened that night. And that was back in 2020 when it happened, right?
Yep.
That whole thing. So whatever happened that night, I'm sure the Packers have much more info and much more about exactly what, they've talked. I'm sure they've talked to him about it and they have all the details. I think he'll be back. So, but like I said, the first 2 weeks you don't have to worry about him counting on the roster. Have the four, and then after 2 weeks, God forbid, but somebody could have a little injury that you put down for a few weeks and you activate them. So, yeah, I have no issues with the tight ends.
Yeah, I thought you brought up a couple of good points there, and for me with Sternberger, it's still too early to give up on him at this point. If he can stay healthy and we can get, a decent sample size of what he can do, I think that they still need to see that from him. And another big factor in this that you mentioned as well is we don't know what next year holds for Tanyan or really this tight end group as a whole. I mean, it could look way different. Tonyan may go somewhere else because you can't afford him. Lewis could retire. Dominique Daphne and Jay Sternberger might not take that step forward that we hope. And all of a sudden, a year from now, it's Josiah DeGuara and whoever else, you know. So a lot of questions.
Have to spend a draft pick on one, you know, another high draft pick.
So a lot of unknowns potentially in the future. But as we sit today, this tight end group looks really, really well put together.
Are you sure? Because I keep hearing that the Packers don't give any weapons to Aaron Rodgers.
Right. I know, right? The league's best receiver, top five running back, top left tackle, overall top offensive line unit. Goodness, if only.
I mean, we just went over the offense, and we talked about how tough it is at wide receiver because they have so many. How the tight ends, you want to keep three or four, you know, running backs. It sounds to me like they have a lot of weapons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. that's certainly not the issue.
And imagine if they kept Jay Coomer out.
Right. Well, I know one guy who'd be a lot happier.
Yeah, Rodgers would be in camp right now, so it'd all be solved. Right. Well, we will wrap this up as we always do. We always, of course, appreciate you guys tuning in. Mark, what's coming up this upcoming week over at Packer Report?
Well, I have a story up now about three players, and we could talk about this next week because we'll be talking more defense. I said the Packers defense is I think going to be good this year, but there's three players that could make this, that could turn it from good to very good. So I'm not going to tell you who they are. You're going to have to read the story or listen to us next week when we talk about the defense.
How about you, Jason?
So quick slants, depends on what's going on. I kind of just been rolling with the topic du jour or whatever it is that I've been able to pull up. So we'll see what's going on with quick slants. It's TBD, but it'll be something nice, short, quick, hitting to the point. And hoping some news breaks, but nothing too crazy, please, universe.
And for me, on Friday over at Cheesehead TV, I had an article out about Billy Turner. Basically how, as Mark alluded to, there was that just bumpy 2019 first season here in Green Bay, but how he really provided stability with his versatility and just high level of play this last season. And with some unknowns might be a strong word, but there's some, how the offensive line is going to be configured early on this season. There are some unknowns, question marks in that regard. And again, Matt LaFleur wants to put the best five out there, and Billy Turner, with his ability, what we saw last year, to just move from position to position and still play at a fairly high level, makes that doable and this unit as a whole better. As far as what else is coming, we'll just have to see what happens and what pops in my brain or any news that breaks. So, as always, we appreciate you guys tuning in. Take care. As Jason always says, take care, stay safe, and go Pack, go.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.